skeletal forms burn toxic green. Vacant eyes lit with everlasting hellfire.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the 24th anniversary Platinum Jubilee, number 24 episode of Let's Watch Scary Movies. We are your hosts. I'm Caitlin.
I am Jenny.
And today we're going to talk to you about the 2020 horror movie extravaganza known as Relic. Not The Relic.
No.
Not Relic Part 2. Just
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, exactly. Just Relic. I first heard about this movie during lockdown. I was living with my parents. I got stuck in America and I was living with my parents who also love horror. I've discussed this previously on the show. And I stumbled across this article that said the best movies of 2020, and The Dark and the Wicked was also on that list. And I remember at the time I couldn't find Relic. I couldn't find it anywhere. So I'm super excited that we finally got to watch it and that we're going to talk about it. How did you find it?
Yeah, it was on one of those lists from 2020. You heard lots of people talking about it, and then I had the name on my like want to watch list, but I kind of forgot what it was. And then a few weeks ago I went to a film screening here in Nottingham that was done by the Nottingham Horror Collective. And it was a screening of Jennifer's Body, but beforehand they had three horror shorts that were all written and directed by women. And the first one, which was my favourite, was called Credit, which was by Natalie Erica James, who co-wrote and directed Relic. And it was almost her trying out how this would work in a film.
Well, because Kresik in the film is the name of the town that they're in, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the short was basically about a daughter who goes to visit her father. He kind of lives out in the middle of nowhere and his mind is starting to go. And, you know, it's all about kind of her watching him and the fear. And is there something else like dark, or is it just that he's losing his mind as he gets older? So it's definitely like a treatment for Relic, but it was very, very creepy. And when I watched that and I was reading, I suddenly remembered about this film. I was like, oh yeah, we should definitely give this a go. And I'm glad we did.
Yeah, me too. I'm really glad we did. I really enjoyed it, I have to say. And I believe Natalie Erica James, so it is an Australian film. The actors are all Australian. I believe the director is Australian. So, and I believe she's Japanese Australian, or?
Potentially, yes. I'm not too sure. I do know out of the three female stars, Emily Mortimer, who plays Kay, she's British.
But she doesn't.
The mom, not the grandma, the mother.
Right. Yeah.
That you may have seen if you saw Mary Poppins Returns, the sequel to Mary Poppins. She plays the grown-up Jane Banks.
Oh my gosh, I can totally see that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jane and Michael Banks.
Yeah.
Dick
Van Dyke.
Jane
and Michael Banks.
My English accent is atrocious. For as long as I've lived here, I refuse to do it. It's full Dick Van Dyke, Mary Poppins, like, oi, oi. So we won't go there. But should we get into it?
Let's get into it, because fuck me, this film.
I know.
Now it's time for a breakdown.
So one thing I'll say, it's a short-ass movie.
Going off.
89 minutes going on from the SNL sketch about short ass movies, which I don't know if you saw that, but Netflix has now added a short ass movies search bar.
Oh, really? No, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yep. Way to read the room. So but I love a movie that's short and sweet. I mean, I can handle the long, lengthy burns, but you know, sometimes it's just kind of nice. So Relic 2020, it opens to sort of flashing images of Christmas decor on like a mantelpiece and a stained glass window, which will.
Yeah, there's like a circle stained glass window in the door. And yeah, you've got a kind of flashing Christmas lights, but it's mostly like a red light that seems to be flashing slowly in and out in the background as you kind of travel through this dark house.
And then you kind of see there's a bathtub overflowing with water, and you kind of follow the trickle of the water out of the tub onto the floor, onto the carpet, down the stairs, and it's inching ever closer to a foot. And then you see a lady, an older lady, standing with her back to you. She's got a towel, looking at the what I thought was the Christmas tree, but looking back was maybe the stained glass door, just staring. And then, boom, you kind of go into the next scene.
Yeah. And I'd already written down at this point, like, I'm already scared. I was already scared at that point.
Just... Yeah, I was already overcome with a feeling of sort of dread. Like, yeah. And then you kind of go into the next scene and you're introduced to the other sort of two main characters. So for clarification, there's really only three main characters in the story: the grandmother, the mother, and then the granddaughter. So yeah. The grandmother's name is Edna. Then you have Kay, who's the mother, and then the daughter slash granddaughter, who is Sam.
Yes.
Only because it gets confusing, because depending on whose perspective you're talking about, it could be someone else's daughter, someone else's mother.
And did you notice that for most of the film, Sam calls her mother by her name? She calls her Kay.
I did notice that, which I thought was a little bit strange, but okay. But I really love, I mean, I'll just say it straight out the gate, three strong female leads, and you're really digging into the familial, like, matriarchal dynamic that exists in this family. And I just think we don't get a whole lot of that. And I really, really loved that choice.
Very much so. Yeah. Yeah. We'll get into it. But yeah, so we come into the car and it's Sam and Kay. They're driving through some trees, basically. And there's a voicemail playing, and it's a voicemail from police, basically letting Kay know that nobody has seen her mother in a few days. People have tried the house and she's not answering, and they're just concerned. So yeah,
absolutely.
Kay and Sam are traveling to find out what's happening with Edna.
With Edna. And so they're driving kind of through, you get the feeling they're leaving the city. You know, they're going out into the sticks, definitely. And they arrive at this rather large, almost kind of grand from the outside house, and realize that it's been locked. It's locked from the inside and they can't get in. So I believe the granddaughter finds her way in through the doggy door.
Sam climbs her way through the dog door and lets her mum in. So you've got Sam and Kay, and they're walking through the house. And again, just them walking through the house and seeing things that maybe aren't quite right. There's like moldy fruit in the bowl and things. And there's some post-it notes around the place. Some just say, think, you know, just in like, you know, remember to take your pills, or little reminders at first.
And I get, and you see this kind of setup. I guess the grandmother makes candles. Is that what she was doing?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, she like carves candles, because you see them all set up.
Yeah, she's got this kind of craft area where, yeah, I just wrote making candles ? Because I just wasn't sure if she's sculpting them or what's going on. But the mom leaves the house to go and speak to the police, and she mentions to the police that, you know, that she flooded the house last Christmas, that Edna had flooded the house last Christmas. So you kind of get a little bit of an explanation for the opening scene, that it happened you know, nearly a year ago.
But then I loved that scene, because the policeman's like, oh, we need to set out a timeline for when this happened. When was the last time you spoke to your mom? And Kay's trying very hard not to let the police know. And you kind of pick up on the fact that she's not very close with her mother, and she hasn't spoken to her in a few weeks. And she doesn't want the policeman to know that she hasn't spoken to her mother in a few weeks. So she keeps being like, oh, it's been a little while. And they're like, well, how many days? And she's like, a few. And then eventually the policeman's like, we need to know. And you can see she's like, well, it's been a few weeks, you know, life's been really busy, blah, blah, blah. And you can just see that she feels this guilt at not looking after her mother better. And now her mother's missing, her elderly mother, who has been forgetting things. And
you know, I think she even says, she says, like, mom's in her 80s, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, how often do you talk to your mom, Jenny?
I would say I call her twice a week, maybe. And I try and see her at least once a week, if not more.
Yeah. Okay. So same. And I mean, my mom is younger than in her 80s, you know, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think I talk to my mom, yeah, I'd say at least once a week, if not more. It depends. It was her birthday the other day. Happy birthday, mom. But so I've obviously called her on her birthday. Sometimes I might go maybe 2 weeks if I'm traveling for work. But I think if my mom was elderly living out on her own in a house, like in the forest, I would certainly be checking up on her more frequently. So I think it is really interesting that they've managed so quickly in this movie to establish a lot. They've established an idea of the relationship between them. Like the mom and the daughter seem quite close.
Well, see, I don't think they are.
Well, I felt like they were in the car, and then sort of other times throughout the movie, there were indications that maybe they're all not as close as they think.
Yeah,
but I thought they were. So
I think there's a bit of tension between the mum and the daughter, so between Sam and Kay, and then between Kay and her mother Edna.
Yes,
but I think Sam and Edna, you know, the grandmother and the granddaughter, are close.
I got that too. But I think that part of that is the granddaughter holding on to this idea of her grandmother that's not really there anymore. Like, she's got a very optimistic view of how things stand. But I mean, yeah, we can kind of get to that. But I was going to say as well, there was a part when the mom has left the house to go and speak to the police where Sam, the granddaughter, is getting linens out of a closet, I think, to kind of make up her bed or something like that. And she notices that I couldn't tell exactly. I thought, there's something wrong with my eyes? Because there were parts of the movie that were quite pixelated, I think, because I was watching it on my laptop. But where she notices the clothes moving, like the clothes are hanging in the closet. Is that what was happening? Were they moving?
Yeah, so she could hear noises. You could hear weird noises. And she thought she saw, like some sort of movement or something in the closet. And so she's goes to investigate almost. Which, fuck no, this house is creepy enough as it is. And I think she opens it, and is this where she first sees the black mold?
Yeah, because I kept writing it as mold. I don't know if it was mold, if it was meant to be mold, but that's what it looks like. It looks
there's like a patch of this black mold on the back of the closet.
Yeah, and then her mother comes back, and so Sam and Kay kind of have this conversation where it's revealed that Sam has quit her job at a gallery and is going to go back to kind of working part-time in a pub, and her mom wants her to go back to uni. And so you kind of establish right here that they have very different ideas about what the future looks like. And so that's when I started to get more of a feeling that okay, maybe they're not as close as what I thought in the beginning, for sure. And so then you kind of go into a scene where there's a search party. You've got the police involved and some volunteers, and they're all kind of looking in the forest for Edna. They don't find anything, come back home, and Sam is smoking a joint or a cigarette, something outside.
Yeah, at first I thought it was a cigarette, but then I think it was a joint.
Yeah, I think it was a joint.
Yeah, I think it was a joint.
And then you get this guy in the woods with a flashlight, and at first I was like, oh my god, who's in the woods? Because I was already so on edge that I was like, who is this person?
Same. I was like, who the fuck is it? Run, run back into the house.
Get in the house. Which, of course, now we know is not a good idea. But so come to find out, it's, I think, a family friend, a neighbor. His name is Jamie, and he's the son of the man next door. And Jamie is, I believe, Down syndrome. And so he pops up with the flashlight, and him and Sam kind of have a little chat. And he says, you know, he doesn't really go in the house anymore.
Yeah, he says that he's not allowed in the house anymore. Because he's like, oh, can I try the joint? And she's like, fuck, you're 18. When did that happen? And like, here. And gives him a hit. And then she's like, oh, do you want to come in? And he's like, no, I don't come in the house anymore. And at first I was like, okay, something's obviously happened. But then he's obviously not just scared of Edna, you know, whatever it was that happened with Edna. He's obviously also scared of the house, because he's going to say yes. And then he's like, backs away, like, no, I can't.
Yeah, there's definitely, you definitely get the feeling that something's up right there. Yeah, then I don't know if it's the next day but the next scene is the mom, Kay, is cleaning. She's just, I think she feels like she doesn't know quite what to do.
No, she doesn't.
The mom is still,
they can't find her mom anywhere.
Yeah, grandmother's still missing. The house is in a bit of a state. And so it, I think just idle hands, right? She just starts cleaning and she stops to play a bit of Green Sleeves on the piano, yeah, which was, I really like, because it's a little nod to, I mean, I know it shows up in a bunch of movies, but it was definitely in Rosemary's Baby.
Mm-hmm.
So just a little horror nod there. But and the mom sort of reveals that that Edna was scared, that she thought people were coming into the house and doors were being left open. And I think she mentioned a lawn chair being moved.
Yeah.
And they sort of start hearing noises in the walls.
Yep. I mean, I thought that line was, when she's like, I think she was scared. She thought people were coming into the house. And you just see Sam look at her like, well, why didn't you call the police?
I know.
But then I kind of get it, because Kay was like, well, you know, nothing's been taken. It was a lot of things are moved, doors are unlocked. But then it made me think of one of the post-it notes that you saw, that you see, because like I said, some of them are like, you know, remember to take your pills, that kind of thing. But one of them said, don't follow it.
Yes.
And yes. things like that. And like, they were creepy, unsettling. But well, so, this part.
But so then after they're sort of hearing these noises in the wall, the scene kind of, it for me, it jumped a little bit. And so the mom is having this vision or a dream, I wasn't sure. I wrote
dream sequence.
Yeah, okay, I knew it wasn't real, but yeah, so she's having this vision or a dream of what looks to be, I felt like she was in the cabin in the woods, which they explain in a minute, but you see this kind of cabin and she walks into it and there's this old person sitting on the edge of the bed, and she falls off the bed onto the side and she looks like a corpse, and sort of one eye kind of pops open. Really, really, really creepy. I mean,
really creepy.
It lasts maybe a minute and a half.
Yeah. And Andy, bless him at this point, he was so freaked out because this film was not, you know, I was like, oh, you have to watch this film with me because we're recording tomorrow. And I think he thought it was going to be something, because I said about how we might do something quite lighthearted next. And then we sat down and instead I made him watch this like hour and a half long, unsettling, uncanny film about the perils of getting old, I guess.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, that was a real corpse. I think that might have been a real corpse.
Oh, Andy, bless him. But anyway, so then the mom wakes up and you kind of are like, oh, okay, it was a dream sequence. And then she comes downstairs and crawls in bed with her daughter. And as she falls back asleep, you see this sort of older hand like brush her hair away from her head as she's sleeping. Mm-hmm. And then the next morning, it's like, Gran's back. Hey.
Yeah. Well, she wakes up, doesn't she? Like, to the sound of the kettle.
Yes. Yeah.
Like whistling.
And and they realize it's been 3 days that she's been missing. I mean, that would scare the shit out of me. Like, where is my mom? What's going on? Where have you been?
Yeah.
So Gran's back and Kay updates the police, basically saying like, she's back, she's fine. She won't say where she's been. I'm trying not to push her too hard. And then a doctor comes. And I really liked all of this because it was very realistic, right? This is exactly what somebody in our position would do, right? You would call the police, you'd say everything's fine, but you would 100% get a doctor in there.
Yeah.
To just double check like what's going on. And the doctor sort of asks her some questions like, you know, what year is it? And when's your daughter's birthday and things like this? And she seems to answer fine.
Yeah. You know? She's almost like mildly annoyed by all the fuss. She's come back. She's when Kay walks into the kitchen, Edna's just stood there in like a white nightie and her feet are muddy. And there's a little bit of blood kind of on her nightie, but nothing crazy, you know? And she's fine. She's just mildly annoyed at all this fuss. And then went to Gwen Dean.
She does seem mildly annoyed. She's like, what?
Is. And because the doctor's like, you seem okay, but I don't think you should be on your own for the next couple of days. So Kay is like, okay, I'll sort something out. We'll stay. And Edna's just like mildly annoyed that she has to stay at home and be with her daughter. And then Kay's like, well, where were you? And she's like, well, I suppose I went out.
Yeah. Like, I can do what I want to. If I want to go missing in the wood barefoot for 3 days, that's not your
business. Yeah, exactly. I'm a grown-ass woman. I can do what I want.
Including dig around in the dirt. I don't know. So basically, you do sort of see at this point the doctor notices a bruise on her chest as well.
Yeah.
And she kind of says, you know, oh, how did you get the bruise? Or just be careful of that bruise or something like this. And she's very dismissive. And so I think this is where you have this scene where Sam talks to Edna and Edna gives her a ring.
Yes.
She the grin, Edna makes some kind of comment like, oh, your mom had her chance, but you might need this, and gives her like a really delicate, beautiful, looks like an engagement ring, maybe like an antique engagement ring. And then mom is typing, she's writing something, there's lots of boxes,
she's doing some photographs.
I don't know if she's doing research, like I don't know exactly what her job entails, but yeah, she's, you know, tapping on the laptop, which is the universal signal for doing work.
business.
I'm doing business. We're both making typing gestures. We look like Muppets. So Sam comes in and she finds this book of drawings and she's kind of flipping through it and they're looking at it together. And we learn from Kay that there was a great granddad who used to live in a cabin in the woods and he got sort of left on his own, I think, and passed away out there. And they took the stained glass from that cabin and put the stained glass in the door.
Yes, they knocked the little, you know, they knocked the little cottage down, but Kay was explaining that when it went down, they took the window, the stained glass window, and put it in this house.
Right. And so then in the next scene, which is extremely creepy, you see the mom sort of catches Edna talking to herself next to the stained glass door, having this like full-blown conversation.
And one of the things she's like, oh, you're scaring me. You're scaring me. She's kind of whispering.
Yeah.
It's very creepy.
It's very
creepy. We've actually caught sight of the bruise at this point, and it's right over her heart. And it's kind of almost like it's spreading out. It's like this big black bruise over her, like, chest, in the middle of her chest. And it's like starting to spread.
Like where her sternum is. Like. Yeah.
Yeah, sternum, that's the word.
Also, did you think it was creepy that when she was doing this, it was like she was talking through her hair?
Yeah.
I actually thought it was the back of her.
I thought it was the back of her head. And then Kay's like, Mom. And she kind of puts her hands up and separates her hair. And she's actually facing you. And you don't realize. It's incredibly creepy. But there's a lot of this film that I thought, like, the way they did it, and this was the biggest nod, really, but a lot of this film was very, very in the style of Japanese horror.
Well, this is why, and I think that she is, like, part Japanese. She's Japanese-Australian. I was reading about her, and so I think, yes, because you get, like, little nods to The Grudge, you know, for example, or...
Which,
I think,
again, a lot of Japanese horror tends to look at, you know, aging and oldness and the decay from within.
Well, and also the effect on the family. Like, it's very, a lot of Japanese horror is very much set in the home.
Yeah.
You know, and has to do with the sort of dynamics of the family within that home. And sort of, how do they say, like, generational trauma and how that's come down through the different generations of the family. So you can see the kind of inspiration a little bit there, and the references.
Yeah, the hair definitely, like, nailed it home for me when she separates her hair. And then you have this really horrible bit where Kay's taking Edna back to bed and Edna's like, oh, it's here, it's under the bed.
And oh my God, like, this part, I just got chills because it's so creepy. And it's very,
it's so creepy.
And it also really harkens back to this idea that once you get older, that it's cyclical, right? That you come back to this kind of childlike mentality to some extent. Like, there's even a line where Sam says, isn't that what happens? Like, she wiped your bum and now you wipe hers. Some sort of, you know, crude comment, but to that effect, right? That it's cyclical. And so when the grandmother's saying, like, will you please check under the bed to her daughter, which is effectively her daughter. Yeah, that.
And she does. Like, at first she looks under it and she's like, oh, there's nothing there. And she's like, you didn't look.
You didn't really look.
Like, oh, fuck. Yeah. Fuck that. So and then she gets under the bed and it's so tense. Like, it's so tense. You're just waiting for something to show itself. Like, you are just like, I was clenching my jaw so tight during this scene. And Andy was like hiding behind, like half hiding behind a blanket. And I couldn't because I was taking notes and I was very upset that I couldn't hide.
No, you have to watch it.
I have to watch it. And then, yeah, like there's a bang and it's basically that the mum's dropped something and Kay bangs her head and she kind of gets angry and pulls out and she's like, oh, you did that on purpose. You know, you dropped that on purpose.
But what did she see under the bed? I mean, to me, it looked like something like a shadow was breathing.
Yeah, I couldn't really work it out.
Like you could see like the breathing. Yeah, that's what I saw anyway. And so, and then the Edna smashes her on the head with the book. So then you get a scene where, I think this might've been the scene where Sam and Kay are kind of discussing like a nursing home and Sam is saying like, isn't this where you look after her? Cause she looked after you.
Yeah. Like, so basically she's like, isn't this the way it goes? She changed your diapers. Now you change hers.
Yeah, exactly. That's this part.
Yeah. Kay's obviously not happy with the idea of caring for her mother. She doesn't feel like she can. And yeah, basically she's saying, oh, to Sam, you need to stay here for a little while. I'm going into Melbourne to check out like a care home. And Sam's like, no, you don't need a care home. Shouldn't we look after her? And Kay's like, well, no, I don't think we can, really. Like, this would be the best thing for her.
Right. And so she goes off to Melbourne, I guess, in the city, to look at one. And you get this really interesting scene where she's looking around and a lot of what the nursing home, you know, sort of manager is saying is like, oh, there's handrails and there's help getting on and off the toilet and things like this. And she's thinking, my mom doesn't really need this. She's quite fit physically. Yeah. It's more like her mind. And then you've got this scene of her really kind of breaking down in the car and crying. And I thought it was all just very well done in terms of character development and empathy for the character and realizing Kay's not some kind of monster. She loves her mother deeply. She just doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I also thought it was interesting. Like there's no mention and there's no, where are the sort of males in this scenario or not even males necessarily, but like partners. So clearly we know Edna's,
the granddad said.
Right. Edna's a widow, but like, with Kay, it's kind of like, you know, where is your life kind of partner here? Or
well, I took the earlier line where the grandmother gives Sam the ring and says your mother had a chance and she kind of blew it kind of thing. I took that as Kay has been married or, you know, she has and it didn't work out. And that's why Sam's getting the ring. But when she's going around the care home and, yeah, she's saying, you know, oh, my mother doesn't need this. She's just forgetful. And the woman is, the saleswoman is basically like, oh, well, we have all these things, you know, all different. We do like computer lessons and all this kind of stuff. And then she's like, think of it as independent living with the edges taken off. And it's like that. I don't know what it was about that. I found that really, really disturbing. It's like trying to convince them that, you know, her mother will still be independent and do everything, but actually she's not. She's going to be like confined and yeah, like imprisoned. And yeah, like Kay even says, she's like, I don't think my mother's ready for a place like this. And then we have that scene instead of her like properly breaking down in the car. She's like screaming and crying in the car. Yeah.
It was really, it was really moving and very, and I think what the director has done really well in this film and very clever is tap into that inherent fear that I think we all have of getting old and not only of ourselves getting old, but also watching those we love get old and feeling sort of helpless. And I think that that is a very human response. And I think to use that mental state to create a horror film is very smart. And we talked about this a bit with even like Ari Aster tapping into this feelings of extreme grief, right? In Hereditary and Midsommar, like, and using that to build off of a horror film. And I think this one, and it's even Dark and the Wicked, even there you've got, you know, the man of the house is dying and it's, how does it affect everyone around that? And so I don't know if this is like a new genre of horror or something like that, this very familial tapping into that very primal fear that we have as humans, whether it's through grief and the fear of dying or getting old or sickness or whatever, but it's extremely effective.
Very.
and she does it very well in this. So, but yeah, so while the mom's away doing all of this, you have this scene where Sam walks in the door and Ed is playing music and she's dancing. And so Sam goes over to dance with her and Edna calls Sam Kay. she calls her by her daughter's name rather than her granddaughter's name. And then you get this conversation where you kind of get the Sam and her, you know, young idealism is thinking, I'll move in.
Yeah.
I'll help look after you, you know, mom. And she sort of tells on her mom a little bit, saying like, well, where do you think mom is right now? She's off looking at nursing homes, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. She's dancing with her gran and, it, you know, things don't seem that bad. She's like, oh, she just needs someone here with her. And she says to her gran, I'm going to move in with you. Well, at first she's like, I might move out here to Creswick. And her gran's like, well, where are you going to live? And she's like, here with you. And her gran's like, no, you don't want that. No. And then we get this just horrible, terrifying moment, I thought, one of just the most upsetting moments I've actually seen in a film in a long time, where everything's fine. And then her gran spots the ring that she gave to Sam in one of the earlier scenes. And she like grabs her hand and she's like, that's my ring. You stole it. You're stealing from me. And she gets so mad and she like snatches it and she's like pulling it off of Sam and like really hurting her granddaughter. And yeah, just
she scratches her finger and Sam's like, here, have it. I don't even, yeah, you gave it to me. But clearly like Edna doesn't remember, or, you know,
yeah.
Yeah, it was quite heartbreaking, that scene, especially, yeah, like you said, because it turned around quick, right? Like 1 minute everything's fine and the next second there's this scuffle, this physical scuffle, you know, with your grandmother, like just horrifying. So
yeah.
And then you have this next scene, which I really, really loved, where you've got Sam and her mother Kay in the kitchen, and I think one's peeling a potato, one's chopping veg, like they're basically getting ready for dinner. And you've got the grandmother Edna sort of in the adjacent room, and she's, you know, sculpting her wax or whatever she does. So they're all like, no idle hands, right? Again, I keep saying this phrase, yeah, because
they're all doing something.
Yes, they've got some business that they're doing, right? And you've got the sort of what's being said and then what's not being said. And I think this was very Pinteresque almost in its dialogue and its tension filled pauses. It was filling my theater boots. So I was here for that. But I really, really loved it because they're having this conversation where they're kind of spitting at each other, like, well, Sam's gonna move in with me. You know, the grandmother sort of says, like, Sam's, yes, moving in with me. And the mom's like, what? She is? Like, because they've not communicated to each other,
no,
just about each other to the other person. And so you really get this breakdown of communication. I just loved it. I thought it was really brilliantly staged and brilliantly written. Yeah. And it just gives you this real insight into all of them. Because they're doing their business and their minds are clearly on other things. And then what's coming out is actually quite unpleasant, what they're saying to each other. They're almost arguing without the arguing, if that makes,
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, so in between stealing or like freaking out about the ring and this scene, you have one where Sam's in the bath and she's in the bath. And I think her mum's still out at this point. So she's just in the house with Edna and probably, you know, rightly very shaken up about her last encounter with her gran. And she hears this like weird noise coming from behind her. And it's like this, like a weird scraping past the door, and you think it's probably her gran, but it's a very weird noise. So Sam's offered to come and live with her gran and is probably already regretting it because her gran, whilst she seemed okay, has now snapped and now there's this weird noise. And then her gran hasn't said anything else to Sam, and yeah, Sam and Kay and her mother are all there in the kitchen. And yeah, you're right, kind of Kay says something kind of half-heartedly and then her gran's like, well, Sam's moving in with me. And at first Kay's like, oh no, she's not, you're confused. And she's like, no, yes she is. And Kay, like you said, Kay looks at her daughter like, what have you done, what are you doing?
Yeah, it was definitely a little bit naughty of her to go behind her mom's back and tell her gran like what her mom was planning, but I think she was feeling frustrated with her mom, and in that moment having this really beautiful moment with her grandmother where her grandmother seems very lucid and they're
just teaching her to dance and,
yeah, yeah, and so she probably felt compelled. And again, you've got sort of Kay being very pragmatic and saying like, I don't know that I can look after someone who needs it like your grandmother does. And then Sam being, you know, very optimistic and idealistic, thinking, well, I'll just move in, I'll look after her.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
You know, me and gran will have a a great time together.
Well, cha-cha all day.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then you've got, I think, and I had forgotten about that scene in the bathtub that you just described with Sam, because it was super tense. Like, yep. You're just, because at this point, of course, in the film, I went into it not really knowing anything about it, except for that it had to do with a family, right?
Yeah.
And so, of course, my mind's racing and I'm thinking, okay, there's demons in the house. There's somebody, she's possessed. Somebody's trying to possess her. The mold is growing. I was getting like black water kind of vibes. And then yes. Also, yeah, like I just wasn't sure what was going on because. Yeah, like
you've got this decay in the house and on her chest, this mold. And as the film goes on, you see more and more of this mold kind of creeping in all over the place.
And then there's this scene, I think, after, it may have been after she's in the bathtub or something, but Sam sees sort of black spots on the door near the stained glass. Like, yes. It's almost as though she can see the mold growing day by day. And you really start to get this, as a viewer, this slow but steady progression of Edna acting stranger and stranger, really, and coinciding with the mold seeming to grow more. And in addition to that, a sort of obsession with the stained glass window, you know, because even at the beginning, I was just thinking about this. The mom notices that one of the chairs in the sitting room is tilted towards the stained glass, like towards the door, like she'd been staring at it. And when she vacuums, she can see like where the chair was, like the indentation in the carpet, and she kind of moves it back. Which I thought was just such a tiny, brilliant.
That
was
really cool.
It's a tiny, brilliant little detail, yeah, that I really loved. Yeah. So then you've got this scene between Sam and her grandmother, and she—I forget—I didn't write too many details, but she said there's a quote: "How does it get in?" And I think that the grandmother was asking Sam, like, "How does it get in?"
Yeah,
because Sam,
there's a conversation somewhere after this point. Yeah, my notes. By this point, I was so tense. And so kind of wound up, my notes do get a little bit kind of frantic almost.
Same. Jenny and I even texted each other last night, and I said, I think I wrote, "What the fuck is going on?" like 5 times in my notes, because I just couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. I have like some of the notes I have from this point is just insane. But yeah, I've got black mold. And then at some point, Edna says this line, and I can't remember if she's saying it to Kay or to Sam. But she says, she's talking about the fact, you know, that she's getting old and strange things are happening. And she says, "This house is the only thing left. All of our memories." I just thought it was so heartbreaking, because you can see, obviously you can see like her decaying and dissolving away almost, this person that she's been. And the house is, well, this mold is decaying and going away. And it's like, soon there'll be nothing left of either of them. Yeah, it was heartbreaking. It was unsettling. It was disturbing. Yeah, just so well written, the dialogue.
And having the three generations was really fascinating to me as well, because, and I know you'll identify with this, obviously, as a witch, like in pagan sort of lore, particularly for women, you have sort of three stages of life, right? You have the crone, which is like the furthest stage along. And then you have the middle stage, and then you have, I think it's called like the maiden.
It's the maiden, mother, and crone. So
that's,
yeah,
it.
You're starting off in life, you're young, you've got all your life ahead of you, your future. It's very kind of, like you said, very idealistic, very optimistic. And then you have the mother, where you are, you know, a mother figure and looking after things, and you have to be very practical and pragmatic. And then you have the crone, who is, you know, the elderly wise woman.
Right, yeah, full of knowledge and experience.
Exactly.
And I loved in this film that you get to see this and the interaction between the three of them, because I think it's also quite unusual. I mean, I was lucky enough to have my grandmother around until my 20s, like my mom's mom, but the times where there was all three of us interacting and hanging out or living together is very limited. So
yeah,
it's really great and fascinating, yeah, to see this. So, and having said all of that, there's a scene that I think comes up next. I called it the brushing the teeth scene.
Yeah, it's a weird family toothbrushing party.
It is a weird family toothbrushing party, and I fucking loved it. I even wrote, I'm like, I don't know why, but I love this scene. It's just such an intimate thing, right? It's a very intimate, everyday thing that everybody does. They brush their teeth a couple times a day. And so here they are getting ready for bed. And it's kind of like the mom starts it, then the daughter comes in, and then she finishes, and then the grandmother comes in, and they're all kind of brushing their teeth. And I don't know why, but I absolutely loved it. It just goes so far in establishing the comfort that they have with each other. Despite their differences, they are blood family. And so, yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting to include it. Like, that's something you could have easily left on the cutting room floor and it, when you're editing a film, and she didn't. And I would love to, if I could interview this director, like, I would love to ask her about that scene. But I don't know why. I just really, really loved it. So anyway, then you've got Sam waking up. They've gone to bed after the teeth brushing. They've gone to bed. And Sam wakes up because she can hear what sounds like, like when you wash your tennis shoes in the
Yeah, if you've put, yeah, you put a pair of trainers in the tumble dryer or something.
And that's it's what it, that kind exactly.
Clang, 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 clang.
It's like thumping. And that's what it sounds like. So she goes down to find out what's going on because who's turned it on? I don't know.
I was so fucking scared at this point.
I know, like what is she gonna
be regretting her decision to move in?
Yeah.
And I've even written, I'm like, what the fuck is in the dryer? What's in the dryer?
What is happening? So she, well, and it made me think as well, what was the movie? Is it called Identity with John Cusack in it? Because there's a scene where he hears like the machine thumping and he goes and opens it and it's a head. So I was like,
it's usually, yeah, I've seen it before where, you know, they go and check and it's like an animal.
Yes.
That always makes me sad.
It's always something super creepy. But anyway, there's nothing there. It's empty. And then you have mom having having another vision of the black mold is growing, and you get another kind of glimpse of that corpse that you got from the first vision. And then she wakes up. And I'm immediately
I love this because like you said, it's an old man sometimes when you see the corpse. But then when she first sees him falling from the bed, it looks like her mother with like the long hair. Yeah, like sitting on the edge of a bed, falls onto the floor, becomes a corpse. And then in this vision, the corpse has kind of turned into like mold, into the black mold on the floor. You just see almost like a shape, an imprint of where he's been. And where he's been is now rotting because it's this like black mold and it's creeping everywhere. And then, like you said, then she wakes up.
And I wrote, what is happening? This is like one of the times that I wrote it. And then you have this scene where, and at this point, I don't know about you, but I sort of was losing track how many days it is, day or night. I don't really know. And I don't know how important it is. It just kind of was going from scene to scene. And it didn't bother me because it was all so well done. So you go from this vision to a scene where Sam catches Edna sort of talking to herself again, and she confronts her. And at this point, I think Gran is doing her candle sculpting at a table. Uh-huh. And Sam sort of confronts her and is like, who are you talking to? And then she notices that Gran's got blood on her hands from maybe like the carving with the knife or up to, I don't know. And so she kind of runs Sam out of the room. Like, I don't need you. I don't need anyone. I'm fine.
Get out.
Get out. And so then Sam decides to go and talk to Jamie, who, if you recall from earlier, is the neighbor. The 18-year-old neighbor next door. And so she decides to go and talk to his dad. And I was thinking, when that whole story happened like days ago, I would have gone then. I'm like, what's going on? I want to know.
What's happened?
So she goes to talk to, his name's Alex. So she goes to talk to Alex and he tells her a very freaky story, really. I guess Jamie was playing hide and seek with Edna and Edna forgot they were playing hide and seek and locked him in a room.
Locked him in a closet for hours and hours and hours.
Oof.
And the dad says, I guess she forgot they were playing. But it's like, did she forget or did she lock him in there on purpose? Whatever it was, terrified Jamie.
Well, and then the dad says that he realized Jamie had been missing for hours. He goes over to the house and he knocks on the door. And he's like, hey, Edna, have you seen Jamie? And Edna's like, no, I've not seen him. And he's like, I could hear Jamie screaming and pounding on the door from inside the house. I mean, that is so creepy to me. That whole thing. So then you jumped, and this is where, to me, it really kind of starts to pick up in terms of pacing. Yeah. It's been very well paced the whole way through, but a little bit slow burn. And so here you kind of get, mom sees Gran run into the woods with something. She's clutching something and she's running into the woods, and it's really creepy. And it turns out, and then she sort of confronts her out in the woods. The mom does. Kay confronts Edna, and she's eating photos.
Yeah, she's got the photo album and she's like scrunching them up and trying to eat them. And then Kay's trying to get the photo album off her and she bites her daughter to get the photo album back, and she runs off again. And when Kay catches up, Edna's on the floor and she's digging a hole and she's like burying the photo album. And she says, she's like, they'll be safer here. They'll be safer here.
I was horrified by the scene. I think it's devastating in the glimpse that you get into the state of Edna's mind. I think it's devastating. And then they end up sort of having this kind of heart to heart where Edna's like, I just want to go home. Where is everyone?
And so I'm losing everything, Kay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's so scary because if you have any kind of heart, it's, you know, you're thinking this could happen to me. This could happen to my mother. And you just kind of think this is what happens when you get older. And that is terrifying in its inevitability for all of us. It's a catalyst in a way, right? This feeling, this scariness of getting older and what happens to you and what happens to your mind for the rest of the story, I suppose, to be told in a way. Like, mom is like, let me take you home. Let me take you home. And so, and Edna allows herself to be taken care of, because I think there's this conflict, right? Like, she knows on a level, Edna knows she needs help, but she doesn't want to admit it. And I think that's true for so many of us.
She feels, when she's like super lucid, she doesn't think she needs any help. And then obviously half the time she's not herself, and she is in this kind of crazed, scared state. And then those brief moments where she's kind of in between, that's when she knows that she needs help. And that's when she says things, you know, like the house is the only thing left, all our memories, or like, I'm losing everything. Okay. And then she does, but then she kind of falls back into being less lucid. And that's when she's like, where is everyone? Where is everyone? Like, she's scared that she's lost everyone. And Kay's like, oh, you know, it's here. Everyone's here in the photo album. It's safe. It's safe.
And it actually, it's funny because it reminded me personally, like, I remember my grandmother saying something to me. She was probably in her late 80s. So this was a few years before she passed. And she said something like, you get to a point in your life where you've lost so many people. Everyone you know has passed away, you know, and that in and of itself is, because I remember she said something like, she's not afraid to die. She's ready to go. And of course, 16-year-old me was like, no, that's not allowed. You're not allowed to go anywhere. Yeah. And she was like, listen, you get to a point when you're in your 80s and you've lost most of your family and a lot of your friends. And that scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And so when she was saying, where's everyone? I mean, that was like gut punch. Just, yeah, really upsetting.
Yeah, this film had me like bouncing, or not even bouncing, but reeling between emotional upset and just being distraught at the sadness of seeing this woman get old and realize that she's losing herself to age and the decay of her mind, and just absolute fear at the kind of the physical manifestations that were happening within the house.
Yes.
And the dread. And yes. I don't think any film has ever managed to do that to me before.
Yeah. And I was vacillating sort of between teary, because I was really feeling the emotions of it. And then, like you said, just dread and that suspense and just sort of something, that anxiety, that something terrible is going to happen. I know it.
Yeah.
And then it does. And so then you sort of bounce to the next scene, which is Sam. And she finds, I mean, I don't know how you would describe it, a secret room, like a passageway.
She finds almost like a secret door or something.
She's in her grand's closet, I think. And she sort of notices, there's this little like hallway. It's full of boxes and lots of post-it notes and lots of black mold. She kind of, and again, I liked this decision of the director. She takes like a few steps in, kind of looking around, and then decides, you know what? I'm not going to go in here. Yeah. But when she tries to backtrack, she realizes that it's a maze or it's an illusion or something. Like she goes back the natural way that she feels like she came in, but she can't get out.
It's blocked off.
It's blocked off. And of course, then her phone doesn't work either.
Yeah. And then she turns back to go the other way, and that's blocked off. And then she comes back again, and basically the walls, she's trying to find her way out. She's lost and she's like trapped and banging on the walls. And my chest was, I was in pain, like physical pain from how tense I was at this point.
Well, and not only that, but as she's walking, and I didn't kind of realize this until a few scenes later, but it starts happening here, is that the walls are becoming more narrow and the ceiling is becoming lower. And she's actually, but by the end of it, she's crawling. And so so you've got these two kind of spliced scenes. You've got Sam running around, you know, crawling, trying to make her way out of this secret passageway. And then you've got the mom and the grand coming back in from outside. And she can't find her daughter. Like, Kay can't find Sam.
Yeah, Kay can't find Sam. And she kind of comes in and Edna's like glaring at her.
Oh my gosh. She's looking at her like a complete stranger. And I think that's what was so striking about this scene. So the acting across the board is excellent. And Edna here is chewing the scenery, really, because she is just, glaring at her daughter. And her daughter's like, you know, mom. And then you notice her hand starts kind of like shaking, like she's convulsing. This is Edna. And so Kay stands her up and Edna like pees herself. Which is very distressing as well, you know, of course. So Kay puts her in the bath and goes to clean up the pee and notices that it's black, that there's like mold.
Yeah, there's like black growing. There's black in her wee. And then whilst she's cleaning that up, you see Edna in the bath and the black mold is now like all over her, which, just anything to do with like stuff on your skin freaks me the fuck out anyway, but this really, Andy was like, I want to peel my skin off.
Well, she starts scratching her skin off, starting with like her chest, like the mold has like
picking the mold.
Yeah, like it's depleted her skin so badly that it's just coming off in her hands and in the bath. And it was giving me like, I was reminded of The Shining, the scene of like the old lady in the bathtub in The Shining, which is obviously super creepy. Also all the kind of like body horror, like Cabin Fever, like, you know, when they're...
reminding me a bit of The Fly, you know, Bundle Fly's transformation, just that kind of horror.
Just that body horror, just, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And while Sam, at this point, Sam's still trapped in this kind of weird maze and she's finding more post-it notes. And now the post-it notes are saying things like, get out, get out.
Creepy. Get out, get out, get out. But also, quick question, did you think that Sam was in like a passageway in the house physically? Did you think she was lost in another dimension? Like, how did you perceive that?
I perceived it as somehow there's like this, I don't know, evil force that's allowing Edna's, it's like a physical manifestation of Edna's mind, you know, she's lost and things don't lead the right way and it's all very dark and scary and decaying. And somehow this has kind of created a physical manifestation in the house. And that's what she's kind of basically trapped in her grandmother's mind.
I got that sort of at the end, but in the moment of it, I was confused. I thought, is she in another dimension? Is she like time traveling? Like, I don't know, my mind is going all over the place. I really wasn't sure. But so Graham's like locked herself in the bath. Tub and the mom is like beating on the door
herself.
Finally she gets in and the tub is overflowed again, like similar to the opening scene, and it's hit like a socket and it's short-circuited the whole house, so the whole house goes into darkness. And so then you see Sam like really freaking out. Edna like runs out of the bathroom and the mom chases her and she's kind of smashing. She's like smashing shit up. You could just hear like glass breaking, like she's throwing stuff at the walls. And
yeah, so like I said, Edna's chasing Kay and smashing things up and Sam is still trapped in this corridor. Like I said, she's crawling at this point and the walls are getting closer and closer and closer. To the end, she's lying on her back and it's like she's in a coffin.
Yes, but there's so much mold on the wall that she starts kicking through it and punching through it.
Because she manages to kind of make this hole. And I've just got written in giant letters, no, absolutely fucking not, because I'm claustrophobic, I don't like things on skin, I, you know, thought of losing my mind. Like, this film just triggered me in every way possible, I think.
Yeah, it was triggering, that's a good word for it. But then you see, so Kay finds the secret passageway and she sees Edna and she's like cutting, it looks
she's
like
she's like stabbing herself with that candle knife, like in the cheek almost, isn't it? Like
in the face,
like pry off her skin.
Oh my god, so creepy. Yeah.
Yeah, and she looks at dead out while she's doing this, because Kay's obviously absolutely horrified. And she says, "You're not Kay. I don't know you." And she runs off.
Well, so now you've got the mom running away from Gran.
Yeah.
And they're all screaming. And so Sam hears her mom's voice and they find each other. She's like smashed through walls. Yeah. And so she finds her mom, and her mom says to her, "It's not her anymore," about Edna.
Yes.
It's not her anymore.
You hear this horrible, like, wheezing, growling kind of breathing.
She's all like contorted, crawling all creepy after them, like through the walls. And I think this kind of through the walls thing, like that whole concept to me is really frightening as well. Like, what's in there? Who's behind the walls? And there's been multiple horror movies made using this concept, everything from the wallpaper, the yellow wallpaper, to A Stranger Calls, to the people under the stairs. You know, it's a scary idea, and it's used multiple times to great effect in horror movies, and they use it to great effect in this movie too. And so mom has like she gets the pipe, because Sam has been using like a piece of pipe
like lead pipe or something
to break through the walls, and the mom's like starts bursting through what turns out to be like the fireplace mantelpiece, which is how you opened the whole movie with that exact same spot. And so I thought that was interesting. And so she's like, says, "One second," to the daughter, let me just beat a hole through this wall. So Kay pushes Sam out first. And then as she's trying to crawl out, Edna like grabs her feet, and they all kind of tumble through this hole she's made over the mantelpiece back out of the secret passageway into the main part of the house. And essentially Kay like beats her mother with a pipe.
Well, yeah, because Edna's attack is a big fight, you know, after Sam's managed to pull Kay out of through the wall, and Edna is trying to pull her back into like this dark tunnel. And yeah, they fall out. So Edna's then kind of attacking them, and Kay has to, hit her mother with this pipe, and she's lying on the floor covered in mold.
And blood, and sort of wheezing, and she's like, she can't breathe properly, and is saying her name, which is just really hurts my heart. She's saying her daughter's name as she's slowly dying, and Sam's like, "Come on, mom, let's go," and they kind of run out the front door, and then her mom stops, and she's like, "I can't leave her. I can't leave her. I'm not going to leave her."
Did you see when Edna's lying on the floor, kind of like bleeding and moldy, and there's a post-it note? And it just says, "I am loved."
Yes, and yes.
Yeah. That was just a knife to my already traumatized heart at that point, I think.
So Kay slams the door and locks Sam out of the house. And Sam's banging on the door like, "Mom, come on, let's go." And she walks back in. So Kay walks back in, and she picks up Edna, and her skin's all fucked up, and she's wheezing. And she wraps her up and carries her upstairs and puts her in bed. And tenderly, slowly, lovingly begins to remove her skin and her hair and her scalp.
And she peels her mom.
She removes her human suit.
I've got written down, touches her mom's gross back, starts to peel her mom. Peel her mom like an easy peel Satsuma. What the fuck is happening?
So then underneath is this very corpse-like raw human form, but it's definitely not human. And I was like, she's a demon, she's an alien, like, what? My mind's still reeling.
I've written down that she's Gollum's blue cousin.
Yes, I can totally see that. And so then you have Sam has managed to break in, and so she comes back in and sees her mom has now completely peeled Edna and is now laying next to her, sort of cuddling her. And so Sam just comes in and sort of wordlessly joins them on the bed and lays down. So the three of them are sort of snuggled up on the bed, and she notices that like a spot of mold on her mom's back.
Yeah.
You know, really giving a massive indication that exactly what happened to Edna is likely to happen to Kay.
Exactly. That like her mother is already... The rot is already in.
Her mom's growing mold. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's the end of the movie. And my final note is, what is happening? Loved it.
Yeah, I was too traumatized to even finish notes. Like, oh, I've got half sentences. I know.
It ended on the stained glass window. That's how it ended.
Yes.
It sort of was the shot of the stained glass window with less mold around it, but there's still mold. And that was it. And that was the final scene.
Yeah. Fuck me.
I know. I know. I was just like, wow. So after the fact, when I was thinking about it, I really liked it because a lot of it's quite surreal and there's no actual explanation for it sort of in the real world, but that didn't bother me. It didn't bother me, you know, like you said, this passageway is absolutely symbolic of Edna's mental breakdown. And the mold I thought was quite clever because not only did it give you that feeling of rot and decay, which is what happens to our human suits as we age, but also it reminded me a little bit of like lesions on the brain, right? Like black lesions on the brain and the way that they did it, you know, indicating this kind of, I see it's an oversimplification to say that it's a story about Alzheimer's. Obviously that's way, way oversimplifying it, but in a way it is a little bit of an insight into how the mind sort of breaks down and she would get lost in these corridors and in the wall. So yeah, I think you're right. It sort of physically manifested from the state, her mental state, and began to affect the rest of the family, which is basically exactly what happens in these situations. It's really devastating.
Like the rot spreads, basically. It affects and generations.
This idea that, because I was really thinking about the fact that the film is called Relic. And so if I may just read one of the definitions of Merriam-Webster is a sort of relic, other than being remains or a corpse, is also a survivor or remnant left after decay, disintegration, or disappearance. So I thought that was really fascinating because essentially Edna becomes a relic, right? Her body, her physical body is gone, and that's what remains of her. And so it didn't really necessarily matter what it was, alien, demon, whatever it was, what was left of her. And so it didn't need like a true definition in that sense.
No, we didn't need to know that it was definitely a demon or definitely this, a ghost or something supernatural. It was clear that what was causing it to manifest, the evil and the decay and the darkness was coming from Edna's losing, you know, herself and losing her mind and her.
It was coming from within, basically. And then this idea as well that it was passed down, like this stained glass, which came from the cabin where the grandfather was left, I think, on his own to decay as well. I think that sort of explained the visions that Kay was having. And then you've brought this relic, you know, to use that word again, from the cabin into the new home and put it in the wall. And there was mold growing around it. And she had Edna had this kind of obsession with the stained glass, you know, that functions as a relic as well. But I think it's representational of how very often Alzheimer's and things like that are genetically inherited and passed down through the family. So I thought, I thought that was a really interesting sort of symbol for that as well. I mean, all in all, I thought it was just so well thought out and considered by the director. You know, nothing was done without a reason. This symbolism was clear without beating me over the head with it, you know?
It was all very obvious, but still effective.
Yeah, obvious, but also individual perception is really important here, right? Like what's your personal experience with your mother, with your daughter, with your granddaughter, with your family illnesses that are passed down, like whether that's Alzheimer's or something else or dementia, or, you know, it's all very specific to the viewer. And I really loved that as well. So what score did you give it?
5.
Did you give it a 5?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really, really good. I
cannot think of a film that scared me so much start to finish.
Yeah. No, it was scary. And we're always on the lookout for the scare, right? So, I mean, to me, that was massive. Yeah, I gave it a 4.7. And I think the reason I didn't give it a full 5 is because I don't know that I would ever go back and watch it again.
Yeah.
Because it was so...
I would. I absolutely would. It would have to be in the right frame of mind for it.
I don't think it's like a casual Saturday night movie you put on for like
No.
a bit of lighthearted fun, obviously. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that was just, I think the director maybe could have gone into a little bit more of the history with the cabin and stuff like that, but equally, I don't think it was necessary, necessarily. It didn't have to happen. I would have liked it just it fulfills that kind of part of me that wants to
Yeah, like I would
have.
love to know what had happened, but you don't need it for the premise of the movie.
You don't. And
Like,
in the mom's visions, I think you get quite enough of it. Like, I think maybe the mom was privy to a bit more of the graphic details of what happened than what she let on to Sam. But
yeah.
I also think it's fully believable that she would not necessarily want to pass that information down to her daughter,
No.
especially if it's haunting her.
Yeah,
So.
like did she find, was it her that found her great grandfather like decayed in the house when she was younger, or like
Yeah, but I mean, overall, I'm really glad we watched it. I thought it was very, very scary. And a lot of times what really frightens us as humans is very much rooted in reality. And I think there was a really perfect marriage here of a little bit of that supernatural element, like you're not exactly sure at the end what she was, or the passageways in the house, were they really there, were they really smashing their way through the wall, did she really murder her mother? I mean, she kind of did kill her mother. She dies at the end,
yeah.
so it's kind of like these it's a bit blurred in terms of reality, but it marries perfectly with the realism of the storyline and that. The aging elements and the getting sick and the decay of the human body that's happening to all of us even as we speak right now,
Absolutely.
which is such a fun, positive thought. But yes,
Yeah.
so yeah, very successful, I think, in the scare area.
Yeah, I am impressed. I was.
Yes, definitely impressed. I would love to see what she does next, really.
Yes, very
And
much so. I haven't
this to
actually looked.
me, it's up there in films like Hereditary, because we were talking about
Yep.
like The Witch. I gave 5-star, Midsommar, Hereditary, The Witch. Like, this is up there with new horror in how scary it is. And to me, it was very much in the same vein as like The Dark and the Wicked, which we also rated very highly.
Yep, I love that film.
Yeah, loved it. So excited to see what she does next, Miss
Yeah.
Natalie Erica James.
I hope it lives up to this, because this was truly, truly excellent as a debut feature film.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think having said all of that, it would be good to watch something a little bit lighter next time of like, oof. But I
Yeah,
would
I had
recommend
to.
this very highly for any horror aficionados out there who have not seen this film. I'd love to hear your thoughts, but I would really, really recommend it. Put it on in
Yeah.
the dark, scare yourself, because it is a good scare.
It is currently available to watch on Shudder in the
Yep.
UK, which is where I watched it. And yeah, it's on there at the minute. I really recommend you watch it. It's excellent. But be prepared. Make sure you're in the right frame of mind for it. Definitely. It isn't a fun film in any way, shape, or form.
No, but yeah,
No.
but well done and very, very well acted. All three actresses were outstanding.
Yep.
Yeah. So, having said that, talk to us, like,
Yeah,
subscribe,
please
share,
rate.
leave us reviews.
Let us know what you think. Let us know of any suggestions you have for next movies. Please leave us voice notes. We'd love that. We'd love to actually hear your beautiful voices. Talk to us. We miss you.
We miss you. We love you. And I actually, in my notes, was re I wrote 4.7 stained glass windows. That's how I
Not
rated
4.7 peely skins.
it. Piles of peely skin. No thanks.
Yeah,
Put
no.
your human suit back on. All right, Brothers Keg, take us out.
Bye.
Bye.